Blog Talk Radio.
Augusto Perez, and Shalom. Today we continue, and Beyond the Veil teachings and talk, and there's a lot going on, people. There's a lot going on. And I will attempt to share with you some of these things that are happening, and then tie it into prophecy, and tie it into what the Lord has shown me, and connect the pieces of the puzzle, because really this is what we are looking at, is pieces of the puzzle coming together at breakneck speed, which it's the only way I can put it. So many things are happening so fast. And, you know, one of the things that I am going to tell you today, and I'm going to tell you in known certain words, is that there is a battle raging. There is a battle raging in the spirit realm, in the heavenlies. And also, it is manifesting in the earthly realm, but it is happening in the spirit realm. And this spiritual battle is waxing so hot right now, and we are seeing the effects of all of these things percolate down, from the spirit realm to down to the earthly realm, to our natural realm. And I was watching today the weather news here where I live, and I am watching the sun. The sun is, I'll talk more about that in a moment, but I was looking at the UV index here where I am. It's the last few days has been 12, extreme. I'm looking at the next several days, it's going to be 12, extreme. The max UV index, 12. And the temperatures are high, you know, in the 90s, but the UV index, it's what makes it like feel like an oven. Just about anybody I meet out there now, they complain to me about the heat. It's like you enter just a microwave. And this is coming from the sun. This is coming from the sun. And let me tell you, in no uncertain terms, that the sun is acting up right now, and I have been trying to warn you. I've been trying to warn you for the last several weeks and months about these things that are happening. I've been trying to tell you that the approaching Nibiru system, the approaching Planet X system, is affecting the sun. I also tried to warn you the last program, I believe it was, that the geomagnetic storm, remember, that happened a couple of weeks ago, it dealt a severe blow to the magnetosphere of the Earth. And these things are accumulative. It's like if the Earth's magnetosphere receives a big hit from one of these solar flares, and then sometime later, short time later, another one comes, eventually that shield is going to collapse. And that is what I am concerned about. And I have been telling you these things were going to happen. I've been trying to keep you up to date with some of these reports from Marshall Masters, who has been, keeping track of this. And I mentioned that, into the summer. We are now just beginning to get into the summer. We are not in the summer yet, the summer season. And so as I look at some of these things, there is now a report coming from Space Weather News that there's going to be another solar storm, geomagnetic storm taking place. And according to what the report says from Space Weather News is that the sunspot is picking up where he left off 2 weeks ago. And that it had unleashed a long-duration X1.4 flare, class flare. And it says that this caused a deep shortwave radio blackout over Americas. And then it goes on to say that this sunspot is going to be turning in the next few days and facing the Earth. The people don't realize the power of the sun. The sun really has a lot of power. And all of these global warming and all of these nonsense that the powers that be and the mainstream media want to sell the people, that all of this, heating of the planet is being caused by cow farts, and I'm sorry to be so crude, and being caused by, turning on the air conditioner and all. This is a bunch of nonsense. That stuff, okay, it could, and the emissions from cars and things, those things can maybe add, a very, very small percentage to what's causing this. Very, very small. Infinitesimal. But they will not tell you that what is really causing this global warming is the sun and the magnetosphere. The sun. It's the sun. Bill Clinton used to, say, is the economy stupid? I would change that and say, it's the sun, stupid. It's the sun. And they don't get it. They just don't get it. Anyways, this is what's happening right now. Now the NOAA forecasters say that the G2 class geomagnetic storms are going to be possible on May 31st. That's tomorrow. They are saying that a CME is going to be hurled into space, or was hurled into space by yesterday's X flare. And it says that if these flares, they might graze the Earth's magnetic field, but they are not sure. Some say it might be a glancing blow. Others say it might be a near miss. Others say it might impact. They're not sure what would happen. And he says that this could extend into June 1st. There's going to be aurora as well. There's an aurora alert. Remember last time there were auroras? This kind of stuff has not happened, people, in a long, long, long time. Not as big as this one. There have been minor ones, but not as big as this one. Nothing like this has happened since the 1800s, where they coined the term the Carrington event, where they took out the out the telegraph and all the stuff back then. There was not much technology back then. But the little technology that they had, it took it out. And the auroras were seen all the way down to Cuba. Well, hello. These auroras that just happened 2 weeks ago were seen as far down as Key West, which is only 90 miles from Cuba, Havana, Cuba. So what I'm trying to tell you is this thing, we're going to have to really keep an eye on this and pray, because this thing could really take out a lot of, it could cause a blackout. It could cause a blackout to different parts of the world, depending on the part of the world that is facing the sun when this happens. And I'm telling you, people, there is another report from Texas News Studio. They say that another solar flare is coming and 60% chance of blackouts in the U.S. this week. And so anyway, that's just part of the situation. There is another situation here that I want to share with you, because and then I'm going to share some other things beyond the veil. But I wanted to start with this news, okay? This news alerts that I'm giving you. It's important, and I'm going to explain to you in a bit why it is important. There's also this other situation developing with Russia that we are about to see a world war, people. Excuse me. We are about to see the beginnings of a world war, and the world is walking into it with its eyes open. The West is walking into it with its eyes open. And Russia has now warned repeatedly that the NATO is provoking Russia, and that if the F-16s fly over Russia or, are delivered to Ukraine, this will be perceived as a nuclear threat by Russia. And while all of this is going on, the U.S. economy is about to collapse. I wish I could tell you good things. I wish I could tell you wonderful things. And we do have good news. We do have good news. And let me share the good news with you first, and then I'll go back to that, okay? Then I'll go back to sharing some of these things. But the people need to be strengthened. You need to be equipped and filled with hope, because you're going to need it. You're going to need it in these things that are getting ready to happen. And again, I wish, and we might avoid some of this. We might be able to avoid some of this if we pray fervently and enough people begin to pray. The hand of God might once again intervene, and we might see a respite. But there's just too much going on. There's just too much going on, and I don't know if it's going to be, our prayers are going to be able to stop it. I mean, I know God is, there's nothing impossible for him. We know that. But there's just so many things happening simultaneously. It's not one thing. It's not two things. It's not three things. It's a whole bunch of things taking place all at the same time. And that is something that when it gets to that place, then that's where it gets hairy. It becomes a very, 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 very dark, very difficult. And so, and then in those times, then probably and usually the Lord, basically what he does is he protects his people. And we have been talking about that. We have been sharing with you how he is going to take care of his people during these things that are getting ready to happen. And we talked about that last time with you. And, you know, there's a beautiful, psalm in Psalm 48. Where, and I talked to you a little bit about Zion, and I mentioned to you that the promises of Zion, made to Zion, you know, we can appropriate that because we are spiritual Zion. And in the book of Psalm 48, let's go there because I want to read this to you and with you. Psalms 48, excuse me. Psalms 48, verse 3 says, God is known in her palaces for a refuge. I mean, the whole psalm is beautiful. It says in verse 1, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for elevation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. And and then in the verse 3, it says, for God is known in her palaces for a refuge. He's a refuge. And that is something we need to always remember. That word refuge there is the Greek word misgab, which means defense. It means also refuge, and it means also a like a cliff, like a rock, right? And in verse 4 it says, for lo, the kings were assembled, they passed together, they saw it and they marveled, they were troubled and hastened away. Fear took hold of them. And pain as of a woman in travail. You break the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. We have thought of your loving kindness, O God, in the midst of your temple. According to your name, O God, so is your praise unto the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion and go about her round about. Number the towers thereof. Mark you well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. And also Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, it says, the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, upon her assemblies, a cloud and a smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from the rain. In these scriptures, the Lord is telling us, okay, I am going to protect you. You simply have to trust me. I'm going to be your refuge. And when this storm hits in all its fury on America and the rest of the world, we're going to have a lot of troubles and sorrows, but yet those who dwell in Zion, those who belong to him, those that are his, those that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, purchased in his own blood, will be given daily guidance and daily sustenance from the Lord. And he will cover us from the rain of judgments that are getting ready to fall on this planet. And so he promised in the scriptures we read, you will never again have to flee or run to Zion. He wants his people to know that even though the streets around our cities and the highways are full of cars trying to flee the disasters that are coming upon the earth, upon the cities, you know, you won't have to fear. And this is a wonderful promise which brings peace and shalom to your heart. And he says, because of what I've done for you, you won't have to do this. Because he is our strong tower. He is our refuge. He is the rock that is higher than us. And so if you are in Zion, if you are standing in the Lord, then you are in his hiding place. You are in his refuge. If you follow Jesus Christ, you are resting in his faithfulness. You are trusting in his care. So you don't have to run and fear. And so he is going to be a refuge and a rock of salvation to those who live in that, you know, in that place in him where they trust him. And this is why Psalm 125 says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abide forever. And so the Lord has promised this. He has promised this to his people. And he has promised to provide bread. And in Psalm 132 also. Psalm, let's go there. Psalm 132. In Psalm 132, in verses 13, 16, it says, for the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation. In other words, he loves to inhabit Zion. You know, when we have those conferences that we have, spirit conferences, you all that have come, you have witnessed his presence. And how he comes among us, and how he inhabits the praises of his people. And he says, this is in Psalm 132:14, this is my rest forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. And then he says, I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout out loud for joy. And then he says, there will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. And he says, his enemies will I clothe with shame. Upon himself shall his crown flourish. And so these are beautiful promises that he has given us in the Word of God. And so he has promised that he is going to provide bread. He's going to provide fruit, bread, grain, food, that's sustenance. No matter how difficult circumstances turn, he's going to make provisions for his people. And he's going to provide enough for us to make it through any crisis. Of course, it's best to have something on hand. God cannot multiply something that doesn't exist. He multiplies a bread. He multiplies a fish. Okay? So this is the what the Word of God tells us. And so when these things happen, we're going to see the hand of the Lord just moving in our midst, and we will be able to go through any crisis. The earth may shake, and the heavens will depart, but they that trust in the Lord will remain. And this is in the scripture. This is all over in the scriptures. And the scripture says that where two or more, okay, gather together in his name, there he's going to be. And he's going to create a covering. He's going to create protection, guidance. He's going to preserve his people. And if that does not happen, like the children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were going to throw them into the fiery furnace, their declaration, their decree that came out of their mouth was, Lord, we know that you can deliver us from this fiery furnace. But if you don't deliver us, we will not bow our knee to the idol. We will not. And so when God sees that kind of an attitude in his children, he's just going to honor his covenant. And so the secret behind this is very simple. It's being in his presence. If you live in God's presence, you're going to see his power manifested in your life. And when hard time comes, he's going to do for you and for me what he has done for others and what he's known for, providing deliverance out of nothing, out of nowhere. And, the entire Old Testament it talks about this. It's yelling at us that God preserves his children. Creatively and supernaturally, this is what he does. He brought down manna from heaven. He clothed the mouth of lions. He protected the children of Israel there in the fiery furnace. You know, he raised others from the dead. There's the story of the widow that had, you know, no food, and the story of the barrel of meal and the bottle of oil, so it never went dry. I mean, all these stories are in the Word of God. He turned water into wine in the New Testament. He did all of these creative miracles for his children, his elect. And I remember one time here where my property, where I live, my wife and I had gone out, my little girl, and this was many years ago, we had gone out, I can't remember where we went, but when we were coming back home, it was kind of in the afternoon, late afternoon, and as we were approaching our property, we saw smoke, a lot of smoke up in the sky, and we knew it was a fire, and the closer we got, we noticed that it was very near our property. And as we got, you know, we turned in the street where we live, I also noticed that there was this man with a huge backhoe, and he was on our property. And when I finally turned and came into my property, I saw that this man was digging a trench between the fire, which was coming from the adjacent property, which later I found out they had started, you know, they tried to do one of those fires, and they got out of hand, it was a holiday. I don't know if they were doing a barbecue, whatever. The fire got out of hand, and it crossed over to our property. And this man was digging a trench between the fire and our property. And finally, you know, when the fire got to the trench, it stopped. It didn't continue to our property. And when the man came to us, I said, I appreciate it so much, sir, what you did. I mean, you saved our property. Thank you, Jesus. And the man said, well, I don't know what happened. He says, but I never do this, I'm on my backhoe. He said, but I was passing in this backhoe. I was going back, you know, I can't remember where he worked for. I was going back, he says, and I was passing here on the backhoe. I was riding in the backhoe, and I saw this fire, and I knew I had to come in here, and if I didn't dig this trench, it was going to destroy your home. And he said, something inside of me told me, you know, to do this. And I said, sir, that was the Lord. Because we always pray, I always pray that the Lord will protect my property from all fires and storms and all kinds of things like this and hurricanes. And he said, well, it must have been him because he says, I never come through here and I never do this. I never travel in my backhoe and I just happen to be doing it today. And right there and then, I knew that the Lord had delivered me and he has sent this man just in time. And I mean, what were the chances that this man was going to be there? What were the chances that he just happened to be in the right, at the right place at the right time? What are the chances of that happening? Some people may say, oh, you were lucky, Augusto. Oh, no. No, 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 no. No. There is a, you know, there is a place for luck, if you want to call it that. I call it being blessed and protected. And when you run out of explanations to explain something that happened, you got to start thinking about supernatural. You got to start thinking the supernatural hand of God was involved. And people need to realize, you need to realize that we are involved in a spiritual war, in a spiritual battle. And you need to realize that, you know. And you need to also understand that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:23. Let's read that because I want to strengthen your faith. I want you to be strengthened. I want you to be, your faith to be strengthened for the things that are upon us. He says in verse 25, 1 Corinthians 15, for he must reign till he has put all the enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So, you know, Jesus Christ is King and Lord. In Zion, over all the children of Israel, and because he is King and sitting on the throne at the right-hand power of the Most High, he has the power and the ability to preserve his people and to protect his people. As long as Jesus is sitting on the throne, Satan is powerless against God's people. And so his throne is in our heart. It's not in the temple made by hands. His throne is in our heart. And as long as Jesus Christ is sitting in the throne of your heart, our heart, Satan is powerless against us. And so this is where he rules and reigns as King and Lord in our hearts. And if we have submitted our hearts and lives into his hand, the hand of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, there's no demonic power or person that can pluck us away. That's what the scripture says. That's what the scripture says. And so it says in Deuteronomy 11:12, it says, the eyes of the Lord are always upon those that he cares for. And also in In Psalm 132, it says, "For the Lord has chosen Zion; He has desired it for His habitation." And so, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, if He has chosen us, if He has made us His habitation, who can harm us? So, when you are in Zion, whenever we are in Zion, as the Scripture says, that means we never have to fear again. And we can walk in shalom. Because it is impossible for the devil to destroy you if you are in his hand and if he lives in your heart. And then he says, because God has created a protection around us. It says in Luke chapter 1, there in the book of Luke, let's look at Luke chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 73. It says there, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. And so this is the beautiful thing. This is the beautiful promise that we have from him. And, you know, I wanted to share that with you because this is important, that our hearts are strengthened and that our eyes are locked on him, fixed on him. And, you know, I was telling you, I'm going to shift back now. I was telling you at the beginning of the program, right, about these things that are about to getting ready to happen. And as if that was not enough, and that, you know, trust me, there is enough going on. There is enough going on. We have we have the Ebola now, which bleeds, you know, it's like a Ebola-like virus that, you know, is, people bleed, is surging through Europe, according to the news here. I'm reading news. You know, and by the way, this is in various news outlets out there. I'm reading, this one I'm reading from is from express.co.uk. A deadly Ebola-like bleeding virus surging through Europe. And it says it could come to the UK next. Well, Jesus talked about this, people. Jesus talked about there were going to be plagues and there were going to be wars and rumors of wars. And there was going to be pestilences and there was going to be famines and there was going to be signs in the heavens. He talked about these things. And so, you know, Russia is getting ready for war. They have sent submarines into the Atlantic Ocean because some of their radars, some of their missile radars that they had in place, you know, to let them know if there were incoming missiles, they were taken out, two of them, by Ukraine. I mean, these people want war with Russia. The West wants war with Russia. The powers that be, the cabal, that want war with Russia. So as if all these things are not enough, there's something that I just learned about, and this is from a Spanish source that, you know, a Spanish man received from an astronomer, friend of his. And he sent him some information regarding a very rare six-planet conjunction that is going to happen on Monday, June the 3rd. It's going to be a very rare, very strange conjunction, according to the astronomer. He says he's never seen anything like this. A conjunction of Mars, Mercury, Jupiter, Saturn, Neptune, and Uranus. And so the strangest thing about this is that in this conjunction, Jupiter is going to be on one end of the conjunction and Saturn is going to be on the other end. Now, of course, if we want to find symbolism in this, spiritual symbolism, biblical symbolism, and spiritual symbolism, Jupiter is usually referred to as a symbol of for the Lord, for the Most High. And Saturn is symbolic of Satan, always has been. And so the moon, okay, which is also a symbol of humanity, is going to be right between the two planets when this conjunction takes place. Remember, Jupiter is going to be on one end of the conjunction, Saturn on the other end, and between, it's going to be the moon. And guess what's going to be next to the moon? What planet? Planet Mars. Of course, Mars, planet Mars, is the planet of war. It's always been recognized as the planet of war. So in the middle of this conjunction, there's going to be Mars right next to the moon, representing humanity. And so this could be an interpretation, okay? And this is, of course, an interpretation of symbolism and of what this means. This is a warning from heaven. The Bible is filled with, you know, scriptures talking about that the heavens declare the glory of God. And this is about astronomy, not about astrology. There's a big difference between astronomy and astrology. I have talked about this a lot in the past. So we're not talking about astrology. We're talking about astronomical conjunctions. And so what this could be interpreted as is that when this conjunction happens, it looks like, you know, this is a battle between light and darkness, which is nothing new. I mean, we know that is a fact. And also the fact that the Mars, which is the planet of war, is going to be right in the middle of it, right next to the moon, representing humanity. So this could be an interpretation, okay, of what this means, which is a battle between the forces of light and darkness, and humanity is going to be in the middle, and war is going to be right next to it. And when this war happens, it's nuclear war. It's big war. Every country will be involved. And so many now, as I have shared with you, right now in the natural, in the news, okay, they're saying that war is inevitable. The war in the Middle East, is inevitable between Iran and Israel. War in Europe is inevitable, Russia and Ukraine. And there's going to be, and then there's also the potential for war in the East, in Asia. China has already said that they're going to invade Taiwan. So all of these things are happening simultaneously, precious people. The United States and Europe have already, and the EU have already said, they want war with Russia. They want to destroy Russia. But this war, that where they want to destroy Russia, is going to destroy Europe also as well, and part of the United States. But the biggest hit is going to happen there in Europe. Europe is going to be devastated. So those of you that live in Europe, you need to pray much about this. And those of you that live in the United States, you need to pray much about this. This strange alignment, a very rare alignment, is letting humanity know that war is upon us. And God, which I believe is it's a warning from God to humanity on this earth. It's trying to tell us the war is on the horizon. And there's going to be a lot of suffering, a lot of pain for humanity if this war takes place in the days to come. And, you know, we pray and trust that this does not happen. And this is where intercessory prayer comes in. Intercessory prayer is very powerful. But like I said, it's just so much. It's just so much that all we can do is pray and believe and pray and trust that this doesn't happen. But, you know, the Bible talks about the day of the Lord in 2 Peter and 1 Thessalonians. And he says that, I was talking to you about this last time. He says that this is going to be a time when the Almighty is going to attack earth, destroy its enemies, his enemies. Suddenly, he's going to attack earth and destroy the enemies of the Most High. And the Bible references this many times as a thief in the night, that Jesus comes as a thief in the night. And so, you know, this kind of thing, this kind of idea of God sneaking up, you know, to do something, that's not like the Most High. That's not something that he does, right? It's kind of not his nature to do that. And yet it is written throughout the Bible that it's going to happen like that. A time of great distress, lightning, thunder, and earthquakes, and then the Almighty is going to appear visibly to judge the earth. And so this return of the Lord, you know, and I always talked about the return of the Lord in the book of Matthew chapter 24 and the book of Luke chapter 21. I always talked about it. And in verse 25, Luke 21, and there shall be signs in the sun. Are we seeing the signs now, people? Are we seeing the signs in the sun? It's all over. And we are seeing signs in the moon and in the stars. People, this conjunction that is about to happen, the blood moons, all of these things that happened in days past, are they not a fulfillment of what Jesus spoke about? He says, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring. That's because of the hurricanes and the tornadoes and tsunamis. And, you know, these words here, that they speak volumes. They speak volumes with perplexity. You know, that is a very strange word there, that with perplexity, with quandary, you know, the seas and the waves roaring. And so men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking at the things that are coming upon the earth. It says the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the power, in the cloud, with power and great glory. So Jesus Christ, Yeshua, is coming when all of these things are happening. Okay? When the sun is blasting away and the moon is, and there's signs in the moon and in the stars, and all of these things, the seas and the waves roaring, when all of these things are happening, and as they are happening, and then we're going to see the sign of the Son of Man appear in heaven, coming with a cloud and power and great glory. And then it says in 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. And you know, that scripture there, look up is the word anakupto. And I want to emphasize this because this is one of the scriptures that the Lord gave me. That time, remember I talked to you about this last time? When I was sitting across the table from an older man with white hair. And there was a scripture holder in the middle of a table. Remember, I shared that with you. And so one of the scriptures he gave me was this one. It says, look up, that's the word anakupto. And you know what that word look up means? It means to look up, but it also means the word is anakupto in the Greek, and that word means rise, be elated. In other words, be overjoyed, be elated, look up, lift up your heads. And then he says it again, lift up your heads. And that word lift up there is apairo, and that means to prepare yourself. It means to be prepared for liftoff, to be prepared for takeoff. That's what it means, to be prepared, to be raised up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. That word redemption there is much more than just redemption. That's the word apolutrosis, which means your deliverance, your ransom in full. In other words, the completion of your deliverance, the full ransom of your deliverance. We have been given the first fruit of our redemption, which is the Holy Spirit, the seal of the Spirit in our hearts. That's the first fruits, but this is the fullness of our ransom, the fullness of our redemption, our deliverance. He says, your redemption draws nigh. In other words, that draws nigh there is the word egizo in the Greek, and it means your redemption is approaching, is at hand, is near. Are you getting this, precious people? Are you getting this? And so, this is, you know, what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. And this is exactly what I've been trying to tell you, that the Almighty, when he's coming, he's coming, but he is coming to destroy the earth and its inhabitants thereof, the wicked. And he's going to use, as he has done in the past, a celestial object, a hammer, a weapon. His return involves something more than his personal return, his bodily appearance in the heaven. He's coming with a weapon, an instrument of divine judgment that he will use to judge the earth. And this chariot that he is apparently coming in, is approaching earth stealthily from underneath the earth. And when it appears, it's going to be when it crosses the plate of the earth, in other words, the axis of the earth rotation, which is already happening. And when he comes and starts going back out, it's going to appear in the heavens, and it's going to wreak a terrible devastation upon earth. And you know, this object, some call it Planet X, some call it Nibiru. It's actually much more than Planet X. It's a nemesis system. It's a mini solar system. And It's a comet planet. And so I'm going to stop it there because our time is almost gone. But what I'm trying to tell you is that this event, this is what's causing the sun, precious people. This is what's causing this sun to act like it is acting right now. Because this object is right behind it. You can't see it now because it's behind the sun. Once it comes from behind the sun and you're able to see it, that is when it's going to become very, very real, very dangerous. And this is what the Bible talks in Matthew 24, 29, and 30. Immediately after the tribulation of this day shall the sun be darkened. I don't know what's going to happen to the sun. The sun may grow dark. We've talked to Stan Deo about this. The sun will go dark. The moon will not give her light because the moon doesn't have any light. It reflects the light from the sun. The stars shall fall from heaven. The stars there is asteroids, asters. And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then, after that, after all that, shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I'm going to talk more about this in the coming podcasts. I'm going to talk to you about how to protect your home, how to protect yourself. I'm going to talk about the 3 days of darkness that are coming upon the earth. All of these things. But be not afraid. Smile and be overjoyed with joy because God has overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. Be not afraid. This is Augusto Perez. Pray and trust. You enjoyed this podcast and it has been a blessing to you. Until next time, God bless you and shalom.